And I put it on the Discover card for $150. And I'm like, I'm laughing.
He done burned it up.
None of that is relevant to the product. The people at DR Trimmers were like, yeah, that's the best footage we got. Go ahead and put that on.
That's all they have.
We're putting that. That's a great quote. We're going to put that on the commercial. They didn't edit anything.
No, they didn't dare. They had nothing for the cutting room floor whatsoever. They just had to take what they could get.
The whole thing was totally not relevant.
Now here we have Roy from... Roy from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, or whatever.
Well, I've been using it for a while. It works really, and like only like one out of every four customers actually talked about the product, just like how it worked and like how good it was. Like that lady, we're just telling like about the process of buying it.
Yeah, my husband done burned mine up.
My husband then burned it up, and then I had to. He told me to go ahead and put it on my Discover card, so I did for $790, $750, and I told him I'm the only one that gets to use it.
He's banned from using the DR trimmer mower.
Broke the damn thing before. You're not using this. Oh, shut up, woman.
Oh, that's the best, dude. I used one of those once.
So funny.
Anyway.
Have you used one before?
Oh, yes, I have. It's like a giant weed whacker, and I worked for this guy who was like 85 years old, and he essentially wanted
Mr.
me to...
Winter? Mr.
Winters, yeah, that was him. I worked, and he used ether on it. You didn't need to use ether to start it, but he'd take the top off of it. He'd spray ether in there to get it to start, and it actually hurts the engine when you do that, but he wanted it to start every time. And he goes, it's doing like this. It's doing this whistling because those nylon cords are so big. And so you're using this thing. And he goes, I want you to knock down the holodye. He called it holodye, like tall grass. And so he goes, let me show you how to use it. He grabs the mower and he's using it. He's getting pelted with like all kinds of rocks and debris. Because it just shoots it right at you. He took the guard off of it. He goes, I took the guard off because it catches on the holodye. Like that. So you're totally getting unabashed. Like, you're getting sandblasted and shot with sharp rocks in your legs and your face. Oh, it was terrible.
Oh, that is great.
Very unwieldy. It's got these giant wheels on it and it's that thing that spins, it leans on that, so you're just like, it's totally out of control. It is not easy to use, like, the commercial. It's like trying to use a ramjet, dude. It's bouncing all over the place. It's bad. Keep the ball on the ground. It's like, I'm 15 years old. I can't do this. It's hilarious. You can hear him, like, yelling above the noise. Like, keep it down, like that. And he can... Then he'd do that thing like old guys do where he waves his hand at the ground. He just went in the house. He gave up, you know.
Yeah, I got laughing so bad at that. I'm glad you posted that. I had not thought of that product in a long time. It was one of those, like, little 4-minute commercial. That was a really long commercial, too. That would be something that would run, like, and take up the entire commercial block on, like, WWF Superstars of Wrestling. Oh, come on, let's get on with it.
Well, it was enough to fill up a VHS tape.
Beverly Brothers match coming up, I want to watch.
The Beverly Brothers, Bo and Blake. Nice. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Case in Point, episode 15. I'm here along with my excellent co-host, Jody Heerden. How you doing, buddy?
Hello, everybody. Hello.
You're getting high pitch again. I'm just
hello.
At any rate,
hello, everyone.
Hello, everybody. On Monday, I had a really nice surprise. I got a call from Tony Schiavone of WCW wrestling fame. He's a legendary announcer. And I was having a bad day, and he called me up, and I had bought a t-shirt from the What Happened When podcast with Conrad Thompson and Tony Schiavone, and it was really cool. He called me, and it was great, and because he said he'd call if he got a shirt, so I'm like, oh, okay, fine, whatever. I didn't think he would, so it was really neat. I got to talk to him, and he was asking, I go, hey, my day's doing a lot better now that you called, and he's like, hey, I'm glad I can make your day better. You know, he's a pretty humble guy, pretty laid back, and it was really neat. My call quality was terrible on my phone, but so I was kind of, you know, I kind of, like, couldn't get anything. I was kind of starstruck at the same time because I'm such a huge fan, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I spent the last, 20 years watching that guy, you know, and so now with the network out.
Well, you get so many, if you're anything like me, you get so many bogus phone calls. Be it at your house or in your cell phone or whatever. When you get one and you're like, oh my gosh, this is Tony Schiavone. Like, it's the man, you know? And
yeah.
Not only that, I cannot imagine, I'm jealous, I won't lie. I can only imagine what it would be like to hear someone, you listen to his voice basically from what? 86 to 2001? You had a 15-year span of your life where He was wrestling for you for every week for 15 years. He's the voice.
Yeah.
Big WCW fan.
Yeah, and damn.
So they have him here say, hello, is it amazing that Justin is? Like, he's doing the same voice he just called, you know, Silver King versus Viano 5. He's talking to you in that voice.
Well, no, not exactly. He's actually pretty laid back. He's got a much deeper voice on the phone, but he's wicked laid back, dude. I'm serious. And he's like, he goes, Justin. Yeah, who's this? It's Tony Schiavone. How you doing, man? How you doing this evening? Like that. It's kind of like that. And he's like, you know, asking me what I do out here and stuff. And it was pretty funny. It's really nice. I think it's very high class of someone to actually, you know, make the effort to call someone for buying a shirt. I mean, you know, you think like, well, it's not like it's not like you're buying like a $200 VIP package or something, and you know that kind of thing. It's like the cool thing. I think what he's doing is really neat and special to me because you can have, you know, you could talk to him. You don't have to stand in line at a Comic-Con where you're uncomfortable. You know, if you're standing in line all day, you're hungry or whatever. This guy just called your house, and it's on the worst possible day I've ever had in a long time, and it made everything better. And it was just really cool how it was timed. And, you know, the thing is that I told him, I'm glad you're doing the podcast. I'm really enjoying it. And he sincerely really appreciates it. And anyone who, he is loving all the involvement that people are participating in the Twitter and the, submitting ideas for the show and that kind of thing. It's really cool. And I know that I don't think he expected to have this kind of reaction. I mean, they broke records on that podcast show, on that host, and he told me, you know, he's just like, it's just doing really well, and he hopes they can keep doing it, and I'm loving it, man. The last episode they just did was fantastic. I'm loving this, because now you have the Bruce Pritchard Show, and they talk on the WWF side of things, and also a little bit on the WCW side, because there's some crossover, like Dusty Rhodes and stuff like that, but now you have the Tony Schiavone side of things on WCW. I mean, dude, that's the best of both worlds if you're a wrestling fan. It's amazing. So we're in a sweet spot right now with podcasts as far as I'm concerned with the wrestling stuff.
Sure.
It's awesome. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, you've got the Coke and Pepsi of the wrestling world, you know, it's fantastic. So I would hope, this is just me, I might be being overly optimistic here, but I would hope someone would take notice of the amount of attention people are giving more of the classic wrestling thing and take notes. And hopefully somebody with some money, somebody that's organized, will create a new wrestling promotion and I understand where we're at right now, where it's like everything's been done. But I think that it's still possible to do it, and I'm holding out that maybe we would get something, but that's just me. I know I'm not speaking reality right now, but the fan in me wants this to happen. You got to look at the hard numbers and say there's something to this here. You can't just dismiss it as, well, it's just whatever. There's a demand for it. And, I mean, what are your thoughts on that, man?
Oh, case in point. Haha.
Nice.
To Joanne from the podcast. You know, you were talking about the something to wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. And I don't know if you know this or not, but he just got hired by TNA Wrestling this week.
I did not know that.
The fact that he gets... You didn't know that?
No.
No, they did... You know, I guess this is a bit of a spoiler on next week, but they did their tapings a few nights ago, and he's on the show. TNA hired him because they've seen all the downloads that he gets for his podcast, which is something like 250... I mean, it's hundreds of thousands of downloads per week.
That's crazy.
It's not only... I believe it's the most popular wrestling podcast online. It's one of the most popular podcasts, period. So they're hoping, literally, if you look at the download numbers, more people listen to that podcast than watch TNA Wrestling, because it's kind of second-rate wrestling. So they have had in the last couple months, they've had a whole total overhaul of their top people running the promotion. Now Jeff Jarrett's running it. They're bringing in a lot of old guys.
Right.
Pretty good to me to tell. And Jeff Jarrett. Well, they brought in Pritchard, too, to help out. And I believe it looked the same from the first taping, anyway. These are kind of spoilers, but most people, I would think, that kind of follow that stuff would know about it anyway. But from the...
After listening to, like, you know, the Bruce Pritchard podcast, I didn't know a whole lot about the guy besides Brother Love. And... It's kind of showing me how sharp this guy is. He is savvy.
He remembers everything.
Yeah.
But from the first set of tapings, I think he is going to be there on air, what do you want to call it? Like authoritarian, like the, kind of like the boss, you know what I mean?
Right.
He's going to have that role. He came out, and there's pictures online, because obviously this hasn't been on TV yet. When he comes out, they have like a big like Jumbotron where they show like entrance logos and things. They use the podcast logo, and he came out. He was wearing a t-shirt with his thing from his podcast on it. So it's kind of neat. Kind of neat that he showed up there, and that's all from his show, like you said.
Yeah, that's great.
So people are taking notice, and opportunities are coming from that. Would that happen for your boy Tony Schiavone? I don't know. I don't think so, because I think he's pretty well set with where he is.
Right.
He calls minor league baseball for the Gwinnett Braves.
Right.
So that's AAA ball. So that is probably, I don't know what kind of schedule they play. I don't think they play 162 games like the pros, but that's a full-time gig. That's from April till September. That isn't their summer.
Right, but that's why.
There's other things going on, too.
Yeah, but that's why I said, though, I said, I know I'm not speaking reality here, but the fan in me would want this to happen. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So it's, I just, even if, obviously that's probably not likely, but I am encouraged by what you've just told me, and it kind of goes along with kind of what I was hoping would happen is get some other competition out there that's organized and has some money to work with, because they have all the right people to make this happen. And I'm going to tell you, this is my opinion, and people might not agree with me, but this is mine, is that the Monday Night Wars there's a lot of debate about those, whether they killed wrestling or made it better. I will tell you that competition breeds excellence when it comes to this stuff. And ever since WWE has not had a competitor to fight against, I hear time and time again from people, they're like, oh, pay-per-view wasn't that good. We're now like Raw, SmackDown's better, or whatever. It's like, because there's no hard line to walk. Yeah, they tried to brand split, but it's the same company. It's not the same. So, I think this is cool, and I hope that they get enough momentum where they can get something strong, a good product going here. I'd love to have something else to watch. I mean, I do like what I see on WWE, but they need to have some competition. There needs to be something to, I think, maybe give them some drive to... to maybe find, I don't know, I don't know, if, I'm not going to bash the talent, but it just seems like there's just, maybe, I don't know, people get hurt, there might be a shortage of talent. I mean, if you look at the roster that WCW had, and I'm not making this a wrestling podcast, but I'm saying, look at the roster that WCW had in the late 90s, where you had a ring full of guys that were all NWO guys, and they would do those, they would, you know, call guys out of the back to do those huge battle royal matches and stuff. And it's like, I think WWE needs to have, they need to bolster their roster, is what they need to do, and with solid talent. And I don't know if they need to recruit more, or they need to scout more, or whatever, but they need to, they need some more people, because if you get guys getting hurt left and right, it's like, oh no, what are we going to do now? And
that's true.
But that's just my thing. And so that was, at any rate, it was cool to get a call from him, and you know, legendary golden voice of pro wrestling, and as far as I'm concerned, a golden age of pro wrestling. So that was great.
I, as a quick aside, I'm hoping to have the opportunity this summer to actually meet him in person. So
are you going to fly somewhere?
That ends up happening, which I'm pretty sure it might. I'll let you guys know.
Are you going to fly somewhere? Or are you just going to go to, like, Syracuse?
Well, I've got his home address, and I'm just going to show up and see what happens.
Nice.
I'm just going to show up and see what happens. I, you know, I would assume you'd just say, oh, thank you for coming. You know, why don't you stay with Lois and I, and we're having pork chops. And I would be, well, I really would want to impose, and then just, you know, come in and have dinner with him, and maybe, you know, I'll sleep on the floor in his bedroom. It's, you know, something along those lines.
You can do a Blue Apron commercial with him, or whatever it's called.
Sure. No. Like I said earlier, he does minor league baseball, co-minor league baseball, and he will be in our neck of the woods, my neck of the woods, come, I think, in July, and I'm going to try and shoot down there and see if I can get an audience with the man himself.
Well, I was trying to tell him how I was... You know, I lost my mind when he started doing those advertisements for Leather by Dan. He starts going into the classic Tony Schiavone announcer thing. I'm like, this guy's a lost step. I was listening to it on my phone at work. I was going out of my freaking mind when I heard him doing that voice again. I went back to being 17 years old again. It was amazing. It was very profound. To get a call from him later that day was just like, it was the trifecta, man. And...
The same day. Yeah. I remember getting that text from you in the morning. Yeah, it would have been the same day. That's great. That must be surreal to get that call, I'm sure.
It is. And it was a blessing. It really was. And I felt really, it was perfectly timed. And I needed that because I had a horrible morning even before I left the house. And it was just great, man. And so, you know, it's really cool. And, I'm pretty excited to, you know, see where the show's going. So,
are you wearing the Schiavone shirt right now?
I don't have it yet. It's probably.
Oh, okay. Yeah, actually, probably... You know what? I meant to tell you it's on its way.
Okay.
I have the tracking number for that, which I know I would think is wildly crazy. But you remember you had trouble ordering it. I meant to tell you I got the tracking number for that like 3 days ago.
Okay, so, good. Yeah.
It'll be there soon. I will give that to you off air.
Oh, yes, please. That's awesome. Yes, you're my go-to guy with that kind of stuff. So we are going to also talk about some things that if you're a child of the 80s or even the 90s, cereal boxes or at least cereal companies would do promos, and they still do to a limited degree. They would give you toys in the box, in the little bag, whether it be like a... I don't know. What do you remember, Jody? There's like, I think I got a submarine once, and I got, a lot of times you'd get like, I don't know, depending on what it is, maybe something that's not really that great, but, I remember Cheerios did a promo. I remember the commercial where if you got a Porsche, like a Porsche 911 Hot Wheels car in the cereal box, you won an actual Porsche 911. And it was funny because the commercial was the kid won the car, and then it cuts to a scene where the kid's dad is dropping him off, and he's like, wow, thanks, Dad. He goes, no, thank you. Like that, because the dad got the Porsche. I'm like, if I was a kid, I'd be so mad.
That dad's like, all my buying all that crappy junk cereal for my kids finally paid off.
Yeah, yeah. That commercial always stuck with me because it was so absurd. But yeah, I mean, even like, you know, Happy Meals and kids, like Burger King kids meals or whatever. It was like you'd get the Lego Burger King had the Lego sets, McDonald's had Hot Wheels, and they were like the the old metal Hot Wheels with rubber tires, and they're like the real full tilt Hot Wheels, and then they'd have like
the Hot Wheels. I don't know if they were initially, but I know the Hot Wheels in the McDonald's Happy Meals were like these initially were like made out of plastic instead of metal. And it always seemed kind of weird to me. Or maybe initially they were made out of metal.
It was metal. They were originally
metal.
They
were not of the same. They were not of the same ilk as of, like, I feel like the early 90s. They probably switched over to plastic.
That's correct. Yeah, and even in the 2000s, they did some Hot Wheels, and they were metal on top and then plastic on the bottom. And they were really like that, really. It was that cheap plastic where it was, like, all swirly underneath. You could tell they, like, used, like, scrap plastic from, like, soda can, you know, holders and stuff like that or whatever, you know. And that's probably what they use. They just use, you know, because you're talking, you know, it's something from a kid's meal. You're not going to be getting super high-dollar merchandise. But, you know, it was neat. I remember Long John Silver's, they never had, like, great toys. But what was cool
was... No, it was always very second-rate. McDonald's were the king. And occasionally, some other as far as Long John Silver's go, it is a lesser chain of restaurants. Burger King may be in the same breadth as McDonald's, but Long John Silver's is like they're like number 9 on the depth chart. You know, they're pretty low.
Well, but let's stay.
They're the Arizona Cardinals
The
Arizona Cardinals of fast food. They're very mediocre.
They had booze on tap, though. That was funny. Remember they had the booze on tap?
The reason Long John Silver's had a liquor license, which always tickled us, is very funny. And do you remember our Arby's here in town had his lotto license, so you could go in there and buy scratch-offs and enjoy a big Montana?
Oh, jeez. No, I hated
Arby's. Do you remember that? This Arby's was like a jack-of-all-trades. They had cinnamon buns because they added TJ Cinnamon's.
they had like a TJ
Cinnamon's franchise in there, and they had lotto tickets. So you could buy I need a luck. I need 3 Lucky 7s, Big Montana, two curly fries with cheese sauce, and I'm gonna need a cinnamon bun with pecans, and then after all that, just bring over the defibrillator after I'm done eating all that.
Go sweat this off on the sun porch.
If you could also scrape off the trap in the fryer and bring me any kind of
the crispies.
Curly fry shakens, I would take those too. I like to mix them in with the cheese sauce.
I remember because you made that.
I totally cut you off. You were talking to Long John Silver's boys, and
you cut me off about 15 times. So what? Let me guess. You had a bowl
you're
of ice
very
cream. You had a bowl of ice cream again. Is that what happened? You're super.
I know. No, there is a half pound peanut butter cup in my closet that I did. I just had a taste of.
Well, there you go. That's what's going on here, because you're super hyper this evening. No, it was funny because you made a joke about Wendy's. How like you go to this. The Wendy's Super Bar, and they're like, I gotta go in some porch and sweat this off. The cheese sauce, you know, you get it when Wendy's hit the Super Bar. I gotta go in the sun porch and sweat this off.
I wonder if did all Wendy's Super Bar, not all Wendy's, we had one in our local mall that didn't have one, but I know it was a bit of a national thing. And it was,
they all had them.
To me, it was awesome.
No, they all had them.
I would go in there, and I can eat all, I mean... The weird thing about the Super Bar, and we're getting a little off topic here, but the weird thing about the Super Bar is that the Wendy's Super Bar did not contain actual Wendy's food. It was like Wendy's scraps. We got these day-old burger buns that we're going to throw in the toaster and put some butter on and some garlic, and then we'll come out and serve them to you.
Your 24 pieces of garlic bread that you ate.
I I know I've told this story in the past, but what they would do is they'd take a burger bun and they cut it in. They'd cut one, like, two sides to the bun. They cut it into fours. So one bun equals 8 pieces of bread. And one time at our own Wendy's Super Bar, I ate 24 pieces of bread, which was essentially 3 buns. Which isn't as bad as it sounds, but 24 pieces of bread sounds really bad. All you can eat garlic bread, that's not good for me.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I'd do is I didn't eat salad, so I'd go for a stack of pepperoni. That was the first thing I went for. And just eat it raw. I had like
to put ranch dressing on it.
I'd hit I'd hit the pasta station and have a stack of pepperoni to finish it off with a frosty.
That pasta station was gross because
it was
they
bad.
They would like it has to like kind of spritz it. They'd have to spritz it a bit to make sure that it get all dried out underneath the heat lamp.
Yeah.
But you know, it's Wendy's employees; they don't give a crap about any of that. So when you'd go up there, they had the rotini. They had the rotini shape, and it would be hard.
Yeah,
they'd
dente.
They'd be all dried out because they sat under the heat lamp all day. It'd be really hard. Like, oh, I'm gonna put a little bit of extra garlic sauce on this if I'm gonna eat it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, the crown jewel of the Super Bar was the make your own burrito / taco.
Oh, they were so terrible, but I ate them anyway. They'd have the little fiber.
I didn't think so. They were all right for me.
Well, I got something coming to mind here. I won't be too cruel about it, but you also like that cheese dip stuff that I think is disgusting. What is that stuff you eat? It's like that cheese dip you eat. That fake stuff is like plastic in the glass jar.
Are you talking about that crap you warm up in the microwave?
I don't know. You said you really like it. It's like, I was like, I remember I went over to your house when you lived in Dexter, and you had this stuff. I go, oh, how could you eat that? I think it's pretty good. Like that. You like defended it. You brought me over to show me your R2-D2 you just bought. What's that?
It comes in like a mustard bottle.
Yeah.
It comes in like a plastic like mustard. Or like, you know what it looks like? The bottle that it comes in looks, and the thing that you squeeze it out of, it looks like a bowl of like toilet cleaner.
Yeah, that's the stuff.
Right, that's the stuff. And you have to screw the top off and you put it in the microwave, and then when it comes out, it's like either cold as ice or lava hot. Somewhere in the middle.
You gotta stir it up and reheat it again.
It's really bad. It's certainly not real cheese, so it's bad for you in the first place. But on top of that, you're putting it in the microwave, so all those chemicals in the plastic that are keeping it in are, you know, it's not good for anybody. Yeah, that's the stuff. I have not eaten that in probably 20 years.
You guys had that crutch holding up that air conditioning unit outside and it rotted. Don't you remember that? You guys had the window unit and you had the crutch underneath. It was awesome.
We did?
Yeah, you guys put a crutch. I think you did something. You hurt your ankle and you had a crutch. And you used like one crutch. And you guys took that crutch and put it under the window unit outside to hold it up. So you drive by.
That's multi-purposing.
I know, but it's just funny because it reminds me you guys did that, and then I went over and you had that cheese dip. You're putting it on tortilla chips. It was awesome. It was like
that's right.
It was the middle of the summer. It was great. Oh boy, we got so off topic right now. But anyway,
we're off topic. But hey, I'll take Super Bowl talk anytime you want to give me anytime. I'm all about the Wendy Super Bowl.
Yeah,
all about it. Hit me up on Twitter if you want to hear more. If you want to talk Super Bowl.
Oh, Jody's got
all the... If I had a dating profile, that would be part of it. like Coke Zero and the Wendy's Super Bar. Dislikes.
Nice.
No Super Bar.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're talking cereal premiums, kids meal premiums. As far as cereal boxes go, how about this one? I'm going to ask you about this. I always thought this was a lousy prize. What about the mask on the back?
What, like the Totina's
microwave
pizza mask?
The mask?
Yes, they do the like
Yes, like yeah. The King Vitaman serial tether. Look at me, I'm a knight. That's no good. Like, it's a lot of work. First, you have to, I mean, it's, cutting out of a cereal box is a little more work than cutting, like, a piece of paper. So you'd have to cut the mask out, which was fine, but then you'd have to cut out the eye slits, too, and that was a little bit trickier proposition, especially if you're, like, 10 years old. That was tricky. Then you got to go find a rubber band and a stapler or a string. It's a lot of work instead of you just putting, you know, an eraser or something in there instead.
Yeah, I passed on all that stuff because I see it on the back of the box. I'm like, I'm not wasting my time with this. This is terrible. I'll go to the dollar store and get a cheap mask or something. But they would do stuff like that. But it was like, you know, I wish that if I could go back in time, one of the I used to like some of the cereal boxes too. What they used to do is they'd have like some of the cereal that they would have the boxes like G.I. Joe cereal. I'd love to be able to like go get a box of that stuff and bring it back. You know, if I had a time machine. And it's really cool how sometimes, you know, you have cereal that, you know, the box is really neat and it didn't taste too bad. But then you realize that it's really just another kind of cereal, but they didn't, it's just like just a different shape or they use different kind of sweetener on it or whatever. But it was like, you know, and they had like Donkey Kong cereal and stuff. And that's a little bit before my time because, that was probably a real early 80s thing, but I'm more of a mid 80s, late 80s kind of, you know, memory thing, you know, with the cereal, like G.I. Joe and stuff. And because G.I. Joe was a big deal, doing all kinds of promotions. And, you know, it was like Captain Crunch. They'd have some really neat toys because you could get some of those. Remember his arch nemesis was the Soggies?
The Soggies?
Yeah.
Yes, I was going to bring them up. Yes.
Yeah, those were neat because they had a Soggies like action figure, like a 3 3/4 inch, I remember that.
Yes.
And that was,
yes.
That was
and
pretty
neat. Yep, the guy that, like, he was, like, the Soggies boss. The Soggies were essentially, what, like, the evil horde?
Yeah.
And the Soggies boss was, like, some kind of, like, robot?
Yeah, he looked like that guy from Bionic 6. The guy that oozed stuff from Bionic 6, like the slime guy. Yeah, and I think a lot of times they kind of copied one franchise, another, kind of just change it up a bit. You know, I don't actually recall getting a lot of, like, cool toys out of cereal boxes that were, you know, memorable. But what was your favorite one that kind of sticks in your head that you got out of a cereal box?
I've got two that immediately come to mind that is like really great promotional ones. And the first one I remember was from, I'd say like 91, I would say 91, 92. And it was from, listen, see if you remember this, Bill and Ted's Excellent Cereal. It was from the cartoon.
Okay.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure cartoon, they had a cereal, which I believe, and this would definitely make sense, I believe was from Ralston, because Ralston made a lot of those.
That's funny.
Licensed cereals, but they were like garbage. The cereals sucked. The cereals were not very good. They all tasted the same. They had these, like you said, I'm sure G.I. Joe cereal is probably a Ralston thing.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure this was like
I
a
thought
Lucky
it was General
Charm.
Mills, not the I thought
the, oh maybe.
I think they were a little bit more highbrow, but yeah, you see Ralston and you'll see like that checkered thing on the back, like what do you guys make cat food too? Is this Purina, you know?
That Chex. They try to sneak Chex in there. Like, come on, dude, I'm 9 years old. I know better. I know Chex is not
like
for
that
me.
Spider-Man cereal you get at the dollar store. My mom would get this. And it was like, the Chex were supposed to be like spider webs, and it had like these low-rent marshmallows.
Yes.
Red dye number 12. Yeah. And
the Spider-Man cereal had Chex in it, didn't
it? Yeah.
That was the one I was trying to think of. I never bought a box of that, because I'm like, you won't fool me. You're going to have to do better than that.
My mom bought this stuff by the gross. It was like a dollar each for a box, or per box. So she bought like 10 boxes. I'm like, oh my God. I got to eat it. It has Spider-Man on there, even though it tastes terrible. And it was like, it tasted like all these artificial sweetener is like overpowering, you know, and it's like, oh, I got to put on real sugar to cover this up. You know, it's terrible. And
Ninja Turtles cereal, did they have Chex in it too?
Oh, I don't, it was green Chex, I thought, but I could be mistaken.
Yeah, I think they had Chex too.
Very vague recollection on my part.
Ninja Turtles and Spider-Man were my joint. So if I was going to buy a cereal, those are, I'm the prime demographic for that. And I can tell you, I never bought a box of either of those. And you know what? As an adult, I like Chex. They're not so bad. Like if it's like,
yeah, it's not
like
too
cinnamon
bad.
Chex or Cinnamon Life. I enjoy Cinnamon Life quite a bit. But I wouldn't have eaten that tripe as a kid.
The tripe. Nice. Yeah.
But anyways, okay, so Bill and Ted's Excellent Cereal had a strip to the outside of the box, so you could see it. You knew you weren't getting a piece of junk inside. Strapped to the outside of the box, and I'll have to see if I can tweet out a picture of this after this episode comes out. It was a cassette tape case, like an audio cassette tape case.
Lone Stallions?
It was shaped like their phone booth.
Oh, okay.
And it had a sticker on the outside with them, like, you could see them in it. And it would open up and hold probably, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 cassette tapes. But it was pretty good sized. I'm sure you could put other things in it besides a cassette tape. But the fact that they went to all that trouble to make that, because it was a unique. It was a unique toy. Plus, I'm like, boy, I could use that. I could put my Ghostbusters 2 soundtrack in there. So it was something I could use.
Your Bobby Brown? Yeah.
Because it was attached to the outside of the box and had, like, cellophane wrap attached to the outside to it,
right.
Adhesive it to the box.
Right.
And it was, I almost think maybe my parents, maybe they found it at, like a Big Lots or a dollar store or something. So that
right.
that made it that much better, where it was like, boy, this cereal was only, like, $1 or $2, and it's, the cereal's not very good, but look at this really cool prize inside. It was something that the prize itself stuck around way longer than the cereal did. It was I mean here I am talking about it 25 years later, so I thought it was really great. And then the second one that immediately comes to mind for a cereal insert actually came as an adult. I'll see if you remember this in 2005, when Revenge of the Sith came out, they packaged inside boxes of, I believe it was, it would be General Mills cereal. I think it was like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I think it was Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Could have been maybe Honey Nut Cheerios. It could have been both. I can't remember. But they had these light up spoons that came inside the cereal.
Oh,
box
yeah. They've done that
like,
before. They've done that with subsequent episodes of Star Wars. They did it with episode 2 and 3. They'd have a light up lightsaber spoon, and my son has
this one was
a red spoon, and I have a green spoon. So it's supposed to be like Qui-Gon's lightsaber, Luke Skywalker's like Jedi master, or well, I shouldn't say that because he wasn't that much of a Jedi, but episode 6 green lightsaber spoon, and then they had like the Count Dooku spoon, believe it or not. So it was like a red spoon with like the
vacuum cleaner
wand type spoon.
Three of the
yeah.
red ones. I thought those were awesome. I still have those.
Yeah, they're
in my
neat.
Drawer out in the
they're
kind of
cool. Yeah, I had one
just opened like last year.
Yeah.
And subsequently, too, in 08, they brought it back for Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Right.
Where instead of lightsabers, they had like Aztec motif on the spoon handle, and if you'd push the button, and they would light up. I think you said that they'd light up.
Yeah,
Pirates
of the Caribbean
once had like.
Was that the? Now I remember when Pirates of the Caribbean came out, and I think it might have been the second one. And I had this pirate skull on a keychain, and you would flip a switch on the bottom, and when you tap it, it would flicker green light. Like it would strobe. It was pretty cool. Yeah.
Was that from a cereal box?
Yeah, it was from a cereal box, yeah. And it was, I remember when it was the, I think Horton Hears a Who, when that movie came out, they did, I think it was like, Honeycomb, I think it was Honeycomb. They had, they had one of the Dr. Seuss, he had the blue hair and the red suit and the white face. I think it was one of the Who's or something like that. And that was kind of neat. He had, like, the troll kind of hair. And then I remember there was one I was really disappointed in, and it was Cheerios, and they did a Disney pedometer. It's like, what do I want a pedometer for? I don't even if it,
yeah, if you're it, getting a pedometer from a cereal box,
it's
not good.
I remember when Rock Guitar Hero came out, they had these, and they still work to this day, they have these, there's a guitar, there's an amp, and you could play, they played music, and depending on the sequence of the buttons you pushed, it would start the song in different parts, in different order, and William loves those things, he still has them, my son. Yeah, but I mean, but as far as, that was like the 2000s, but in the 2010s, but as far as like the 80s and 90s, technology wasn't far enough along where you could have stuff like I just talked about, but
right.
I didn't really have a whole lot that comes to mind. I mean, I had a submarine that, you know, I used in the sink a few times, you know, when I was a little kid that would go up and down and, you know, but I just don't remember anything that great. I mean, it's just, I think technology.
How about mail away offers? Do you remember mailing away for anything?
No, because we weren't, we just never, my brother and I, we just never seemed to really be interested enough to do that, saving UPCs or whatever. And the closest I got, I remember it was on the back of a Fraggle Rock comic book. I was like 7 years old. And they had Hasbro had they would give you, you'd fill out this identity, like this card on the back, like it had like a file card, and then you'd send it in the mail and you would get a special paratrooper or like a special kind of, it was like a special forces kind of trooper, and it'd send you back a figure in the mail. I think it was only like $5 or whatever for shipping and handling. And I never sent it, but I wanted to. And it was funny because I thought that it was going to be my application to join the G.I. Joe, like, you know, peacekeeping force, and my mom went along with it, and she's like, I don't want you to leave, I don't want you to, you know, she's like, I don't, you can't go, and it, she really played along with it, and I was like, I begged her, because I'm like, listen, I need to send this in, because I want to fight Cobra, and they're going to send me a figure, you know, and it confirms my enlistment in the G.I. Joe peacekeeping force, and it was kind of funny, but no, I never did mail anything out.
I totally remember that G.I. Joe figure.
Yeah.
You basically got a figure of yourself. But you got to choose what branch of the military you were
yes,
in.
Yes, that's the
which
one.
To me, when you're 5 or 6 and you saw that, that was way over my head. I'm like, oh, I don't know what any of these words mean.
Yeah,
I always wanted
you would,
that. But
right, you'd check a box. You'd check a box, like, there was, like, security forces, there was paratroopers, There was heavy arms specialist, that kind of stuff, or ballistic specialist,
yeah,
or whatever it would be.
Yeah.
And it was, oh, that's so cool they would do something like that. And
it was awesome.
Yeah.
Everybody got the same figure. It's just those little cards that you clip off the back.
Yeah,
of
the file card.
The blister
yeah.
pack. The file card was like it was special just for you. Was
yeah.
made out for your. For whatever your name was. And to me, it kind of blows my mind that I never did send away for that. I was a huge, circa like 86, 87, like when the movie came out, a huge Joe fan. I have a subscription to G.I. Joe magazine, which I just came across those a few months ago. They're down in my basement, and they're pretty neat. They're pretty neat. I mean, it was definitely my bag right there in 87. So
yeah,
to not have sent away for that kind of blows my mind. One thing I did send away for, as far as the Joes go, were an LJN, the wrestling figures, the big rubber ones that everybody remembers from the 80s. G.I. Joe had a mail-away Sergeant Slaughter that you could send away for that I did end up sending away for that with, you know, proof of purchase and probably $5 or something, and he's really great. He was really neat. He actually wasn't made out of the same rubber as everybody else. He was made out of a much harder plastic, as opposed to maybe the rubber of everybody else. So if he was the figure you would throw at, like, your little sister, well, I would. You would throw at your sister if she annoyed you, because you'd really do some damage with Sergeant Slaughter. He was a lot hardier stock as far as his materials he was made out of, and That figure's worth like $100 today. He's kind of sought after. He's one of the more rare figures.
Oh wow, that's cool. Yeah. I remember they had a Hulkster that had the actually had a T-shirt on it. It was a special edition.
Red.
Yeah,
yes.
Red. Yep. And I remember they had an episode of Primetime Wrestling. It was on there, but yeah.
So how about like kidney ulcers? You mentioned Long John Silver's before. Was there one in particular from Long John Silver's that you would remember it, or Burger King, or any other places?
Yes, I was abruptly halted when I was going to tell you my...
Yeah, a good 20 minutes ago, anyways.
Yeah. No, I remember they would have this, you'd have, like, all the food on top, right? So you dig that, you dig through that, and there was a panel on the bottom, on the, or like a panel at the bottom of the kids' meal. You open up, and there's a treasure map in there, and you could, and there was, like, a map, and you'd have to, like, find the treasure or something like that, and I don't remember the exact setup of it, but it was really cool. It was actually, like, wow, there's, like, a compartment at the bottom of this kids' meal. And none of the other, you know, fast food places were doing that. I thought the big...
They put a lot of effort into their actual, yeah, like you said, did it look like a ship, like a pirate ship or something?
It was something like that. And, you know, I'd have to hand it to them. I really thought it was neat what they were doing back in the day because none of the other places were doing that. It was their own thing, you know, and it was really neat. And I liked the Lego sets that Burger King would do. Those are really good. And if you collected all the sets, you could build this huge, you could probably find it online somewhere what it was, but if you collected all the sets, you could build a huge structure, you know. And I remember the commercial for that. They back in the day, they used to make parents look really stupid. Like, they didn't know anything about, like, what kids do. And, like, the dad's like, oh, look what I built. And they're like, what is that? You know, or it's like, you failed the Capri Sun test. You're a moron, Dad. You know, and it was like, kids only, you know. But it was like, it was that kind of attitude. And, like, the guy's like, he worked really hard on this terrible Lego structure that he built out of all his kids' meal Lego packs. And they did that for several years, but then it kind of just dropped off. And I think it's because Legos got so expensive. And because, you know, plastic is it's a petroleum-based product for toys. And I just think that Burger King probably just doesn't... They couldn't get a licensing agreement probably with Lego where they're like, well, okay, we'll do it for... Or whatever their deal would be. But I think it got to the point to where the cost of the product was probably far beyond what they wanted to include in their kids' meals. So that went by the way of the dodo. And I think the last time they did a Lego set like that was probably in, like, maybe 91, 92, somewhere around there. And like we said earlier, McDonald's, they did the Hot Wheels thing. Kind of had a little resurgence, but it was the plastic, you know, type thing. Not the... they had some color changer ones, I think, that were all plastic. And, that's kind of when a lot of those kids' meal stuff dropped off. Now, I will tell you, later on in the early 2000s when they had the 2002 He-Man series, they had some kids' toys that were pretty cool that come in the kids' meals, like Battle Cat and stuff. And they were like miniatures. They were kind of neat. But,
I remember going in the early 2000s, I went out of my way. I believe it was when... Actually, it must have been when about the same time. It must have been when either Episode 2 or Episode 3 came out. Burger King had Star Wars toys. A lot of them. They must have had like 15 or 20 toys. Some of them were plush. Some were like X-Wings that you'd pull back and they would go forward. Like, you know, click, click, click. You pull them back and they make that click sound. Then you let them go and they fly.
Wow.
They had some toys that squirted. And I must have bought... Which was really sad because I would go to Burger King just to buy the toys. I didn't obviously have any children or anything to buy the kids' meals for. So, you know, here I am waiting in line at Burger King to get a tiny plush Jabba the Hutt or a Jar Jar Binks that squirts or a wind-up General Grievous with arms that move back and forth with lightsabers and stuff in them. But... I did buy my toys. My kids like to play with those.
That's neat. They still hold up, yeah.
Yeah, they're all right. I did want to ask you while I was thinking of it. Were you ever a member of the Burger King Kids Club?
Yes, I was, actually. And I'd forgotten
about it. As was I.
Yeah.
I remember they sent me a introductory packet in the mail that had Burger King Kids Club stickers on it with all the kids from the Burger King Kids Club on the stickers. I thought that was the greatest.
Yeah, they'd send some cool
stuff. Awesome.
Yeah, they had some good stuff. Yeah, I thought the toys they had were good, too, because they'd have, like, toys of the different kids. And Jason and I had some of those, my brother. And, no, let's not forget.
What kid did you like the best?
Well, out of the kids?
Yeah.
There was the remote control kid, and then there was the kid that was in, like, the... I think there's a kid who was in, like, a... It was, like, a wheelchair or something. And it was, like, a...
Yes, his name...
Wasn't
His
it
name
Wheels?
Was Wheels?
Wheels, that's
really
right.
Really inappropriate.
Yeah, it was not really PC. Inappropriate. Yeah. And then there was the other kid was Kidvid, right? Wasn't Kidvid the kid?
Yeah, he looked like kind of a D-bag. He had blonde hair and stuff.
Yeah.
Blonde.
Yeah, he'd always wear them. And he always had a remote in his hand. Addicted to TV.
He was their leader.
Yeah.
I like Jaws, who looked like...
he had braces?
He basically looked... Yeah, well, Jaws is the... He was the African-American kid of the group. He looked kind of like Theo Huxtable, I guess.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, he had the Kid and Play type hairdo. It was like a flat top.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Because I remember... Let's not forget, I was going to say just a little bit earlier that we had the transforming... McDonald's toys, which are still actually very collectible to certain circles. I had the fry box. I had the hamburger. I had the drink or milkshake, whatever you want to call it. And I had, those are the ones that I had. I had those ones. And there's actually a lot of people that actually still try. You can
those
probably,
are very sought after.
Yeah, they are. And
those are really cool.
They're awesome. I mean, even if it's just something to, they're really simple, but they're just something cool to just to mess with. Like if you're waiting for someone or you got something going on, you know. And I had
a Big Mac, I think, but I remember all of them. The neat thing about those toys was like a Big Mac. When I was 8, a Big Mac was something I would never have eaten, but I thought the toy was just awesome, you know? Like a filet. I would never eat a filet of fish, much less eat the box, but to have a transformer that turned into a filet of fish, okay.
A filet of fish?
I think there was, and later on, they actually had another line of those that turned into to dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I think I have a hamburger that turned into a dinosaur. But then they had those dinosaurs, the TV show, the toys. And Wendy's had those. And you could... I had the grandma, so it was like a... it was an air-powered toy, and she'd rock back and forth. You'd push a button on this controller that was on an air hose, and it would push air into the rocking chair and make her rock back and forth. It was very funny. And she had, like, the pointed, you know, glasses on, and... her attire from the TV show. Do you remember that when they had the dinosaurs toys at Wendy's? Do you remember that? That was probably their...
No, I don't remember those toys. Usually if it was not McDonald's, I didn't care.
Yeah, we actually went to Wendy's quite a bit. I think that was probably their most high-profile thing that they did, really, for mainstream, you know, TV. Because I don't remember anything else... really, that Wendy's did that was really kind of... I'm sure there's a million people that probably know better than I
sure.
do. But I can't... I
Wendy's
just,
and Taco Bell always seem to get kind of the scraps.
Man, what did Taco
like,
Bell...
Like, oh, come to Taco Bell now for reboot toys. And you'd go,
reboot.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Get a Choco Taco and your reboot toy, you know. Well, then there was... you had some folks like KFC... But they really didn't do toys either, though. KFC didn't do toys. And let me think, who else will there be? Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut had, like, X-Men, and they did Care Bears.
The X-Men.
And they did they had Care Bear sticker book or something. I remember when I was, like, a little kid. Then they had... Let me think who else was doing toys back in that point.
Pizza Hut did a line of, Nickelodeon puppets.
From the Land Before Time. They had some puppets.
Did they do puppets from there?
Yeah, they did. They did. And it was, I think you can still find them kicking around at yard sales and stuff these days.
I had puppets from, Eureka's Castle, which was kind of I was too old for that. I was too old for that show, but
I hated that show.
If my sister was getting one of those puppets, I wanted a puppet too.
I,
so
absolutely
she got Eureka, it. And I got Magellan.
I'm sorry. That's a terrible show.
No. That puppet was pretty cool. I liked it.
Oh, okay. I got really irritated when I see that. What? What did you say?
I said totally dismissing me. You're really put off by that.
It's okay. You were a sitcom guy. Sitcom guy and fan of shows.
That was a kid's show.
Well, no, I'm just saying that.
But that was a really little kid's show.
Well,
you were more
forgiving than I was with shows back in the day. And, but kind of like how you feel that way about my fandom of Martin Short. So I think we're even because you don't.
Oh, that is a story for a different day. that was something we got talking about off episode, not on the podcast.
Yeah,
folks, I want to hear a lot of feedback from this episode. I want to know, people, it's like a multi-part question. Send us your Happy Meal memories, and is Martin Short funny? To which your answer should be Muppet Babies toys and Tiny Toons toys at McDonald's, and absolutely not. Those are the two right answers to my question.
Yeah, and also... I would like to remind people that we do have a music episode we would like to do, and we would both like to get some feedback on that. Send us in what you'd like to hear about 80s, 90s, 2000s, whatever you want to hear. We would like to do a music episode, so if you guys could send in your
ideas. We did a poll.
But what's
the winner of our poll was 90s rock. So I think for our next episode,
so
we're going to
do
our top five 90s rock songs.
I'd be all over that like flies on stink.
All right. Well, I'll do my top five. You do your top five. And we want to hear some listener submitted top fives. And we'll talk some music. And I can't wait for you to scoff and dismiss everyone else's list. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I might draw the ire of lots of people. But, hey, it's a friendly discussion, and not everyone can agree on things. And we'll just leave it at that.
Music gets pretty heated.
Well, it doesn't have to be heated.
It
does. You know, but the thing is, man, I'm just going to say real quickly, because this isn't a music episode, that just shows you how much music actually affects people and how important it is to people. So, get you through some rough times. Or can make you feel like dirt. You know, to quote Kramer from Seinfeld, I'm like Elsa, I can help you or I can hurt you. You know, that's the way music is. Double-edged sword. But, no, that'd be great. I'm looking forward to that. So, what I'd like to do, because we're going to be wrapping this up here in a little bit, because we're kind of winding down here. Is there anything else you had, Jody, in regards to... either kids' meals or cereal boxes. I'm tapped out because I can't think of anything else that I really
could
recall.
Really, I could keep going. I mean, honorable mentions, and I'm sure people would say this just very quickly, some Muppet Babies toys, some Berenstain Bear toys that they had in the Happy Meals were really great.
Wow.
These pullback McDonald's cars with like a hamburger. They were really small. You could put them right in your pocket. They were... You pull them back, they'd go in a straight line, then they'd spin in a circle and keep going. They made, like, Ronald McDonald, the Hamburglar, Grimace, and Birdie the Early Bird, I think.
I vaguely remember those. Supposed to be like the Turbo Racers, yeah. When the Turbo Racers were real popular, where you put a pen in the back and spin around. Yeah, I remember those.
Do you remember those lame puppets that they would put? They must have been for babies that couldn't handle, like, the real toys. They were, like, it was these vinyl puppets of Ronald McDonald that you could put on your hand that they were strapped to those. Remember McDonald's used to have special like high chairs with like
it was almost like a sandwich bag of Ronald McDonald. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
it was like a sandwich bag. Yeah, exactly.
Well, and then you could buy kites.
They would have that.
Remember they had the Ronald McDonald kites you could buy?
I do remember that.
Yeah, that was mid-80s. That was like 85, 86, dude.
Did you ever have a McDonald's birthday party?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Man, you just tapped a vein there, dude. Now, I'm going to tell you real quick. Jason and I, my brother, we had at least two that I recall McDonald's parties, right? And we had one where we actually went to one of a kid we knew when McDonald's was doing fortune cookies. And my brother and I would line up the fortune cookies because we didn't like them, and we'd smash them on the windowsill, and we were laughing really hard because they're smashing fortune cookies.
That sounds about right. Sounds like the Case family motto.
That's right.
Smash what you cannot eat. That sounds like the Case boys.
I love it. There's a t-shirt in the wings for that. We need to get that going. Smash what you cannot eat. And I remember the kid got a Rio Blast figure. He got King Hiss.
Awesome.
And he got Rio Blast as presents for his party. So that's kind of neat. Because that was 1987. That's when the Masters line was winding down. That's when those two figures came out. The other thing is Jason and I had one. And we were twins. Fraternal twins. Well, we are. I shouldn't say were. Cause it's not like we changed or anything. But it was like we had Lego sets that we got from kids. But they had this guy. I remember there was this guy that worked there. And he was in charge. He was like a magician / assistant manager for the McDonald's that we attended. And he had this magic wand that would go limp. And he had all these things worked out. Like, he's like... My brother got mad at him because he tricked him with the wand or something like that. I remember my brother wasn't too thrilled about that. But, because it was pretty lame, you know. But, yeah, we had one of those. And they had a special room set up just for those. So you weren't being distracted by like any of the other patrons, and it all had windows you could see in there, but then it had a door that went straight out to the play area where you had the hamburger with the bars and the spiral staircase, or spiral slide I should say, metal playground, blazing sun, burnt legs if you're wearing shorts. You had to be tough in the 80s with these things. It's not now where it's all plastic, it's all shaded inside a building, or there's, you know, there's a roof over it. You had to be tough in the 80s. Metal slides, hamburgers you can climb in with bars on the outside. Serious business, folks. But no, I that's what I remember, the McDonald's swivel chairs. Those parties were cool. I actually enjoyed them. I had fond memories of those parties. Did you ever have any there at McDonald's? I'm sure you did.
Not only did I never have a party there, I was never even invited to one of those parties. And literally,
wow,
it was like...
You missed out.
I wanted to go. I wanted to have one. Listen to all the toys I talked about, right? I love McDonald's. And I was never invited to a party, and I never had one. I thought it was for rich kids. And I remember going to McDonald's on like a Saturday and sitting there and eating my Happy Meal and sorrow while I look out and I'd see kids at a birthday party and be like,
oh, this is terrible.
That must be pretty great. And they're carrying on with their Happy Meals and their sandwich bag puppets. And
you're making me feel terrible, Joey.
It's one of my big regrets as a kid. I never got invited to one of those parties and I wanted to go so bad. I literally thought, I was like, well, if must be to have one of those parties that must cost hundreds of dollars. That's probably why I've never been invited to one and never had one. I just don't have friends with that kind of money. I literally would think like it must be just for, you know, I guess the Rockefellers are the only ones and the Case boys apparently are the only people that are rich enough to have a McDonald's land party. No, I never went to one and I was never, it was a big regret of my childhood. Always wanted to go.
Well, I would have invited you if I knew you.
I almost think there was one time where I went and it was like a party of kids that I knew that were in another class. Like, I know of them. I know those are kids that go to my elementary school, but they're not in my... Like, basically, if I had been in that class, maybe I would have gotten invited to that party. But I'm not, and I wasn't. I know some of the kids in that party, and nope, I was never invited.
But you know what, you can't, there's a lot of things that you had that a lot of other kids didn't have, like internet, at a very much younger time.
I was
in high school.
A teenager.
Yeah, but still, no one else had that crap. You guys were like wired like freaking NASA and ground control, you know, mission control. But it was like, you guys had, I mean, you had a lot of stuff that I think a lot of other kids didn't have, like, just copious amounts of you know, cool toys. I mean, that probably a lot of kids didn't have. So you made up for it in other areas. I mean, and I can tell you, those McDonald's parties, I don't think it costs anything to rent that banquet room. You just had to reserve it. And it
you had to reserve it, probably by what, 10 Happy Meals?
I can guarantee you right now that I think you had to have a certain amount of people guaranteed to show up to reserve it, and that was the catch. And we did that. We had enough kids. So otherwise, you probably paid a fee because they had to hold it for you, and you know, because they'd make sure they kept it clean and stuff. But that was pretty much the extent of my, you know, besides like some of the Batman toys and stuff that they had for the movies, and the, you know, Santa Claus the movie coloring books and stuff like that. But that's all it really comes. That's all I can really recall. But I thought this was an interesting discussion. And hopefully,
absolutely, this has been a great decision. It really, and I think I mentioned this to my wife. I almost mentioned it. Feels like every time I go, it makes me really. I understand why, but it makes me really sad that like Ronald McDonald and all of his pals have basically, you know, they've been given a pink slip and sent to the unemployment line. They're not used anymore. And occasionally, I'm not even sure it's still there. But we had a local McDonald's that had a. At least until they renovated, it might be gone now. But they had a statue of McDonald outside where you can kind of sit on a bench with him and get your picture taken and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's gone. He's not really a part of the company anymore. Even the Happy Meal stuff has like a talking Happy Meal box or something on it. He's done. He's out. Because I don't know. I don't understand it. I guess it was because they didn't want him to be. I mean, clowns are scary, I suppose, but the marketing made kids want to go there more. But you know what? The marketing was, because here we are talking. We devoted an entire episode to these toys, and here I am lamenting the fact that he's not around anymore. You know, and to me, it makes me sad to know that my kids are like they're not going to grow up with Ronald McDonald and a hamburger or Grimace or any of those, because they're gone. And to me, they were a huge, I wouldn't say huge, but they were a pretty big part of my life. You think back to all those commercials and stuff that ran every Saturday morning, or, oh, Ronald's out on the ice, he's out on the river, the pond. He's out on the pond, and he's ice skating, and he's helping that little girl that can't ice skate. You know, commercials and
stuff. Yeah, I remember that. I teared up when I watched that the first time. Yeah, I remember that. That strikes a nerve. Dude, that strikes a chord.
The commercials were really good.
Yeah, they were.
Touching to it.
They were.
Granted, they're trying to sell burgers, and they want you to come to McDonald's, and that stuff worked. But I miss it. I mean, commercials.
I will tell you.
That's what they are.
I will tell you, though, that being said, Jody, that I'm not trying to get overly sappy here, but I will tell you, it seems like they were really making an effort to actually have something showing, like, hey, help someone out if they need to, you know, if they need help with something or whatever. So, but I will just cap this off as far as my opinion on this by saying that that was a golden age of kids meal happiness, or whatever you want to call it, Happy Meal happiness. And you look at a McDonald's now, and it looks like a Starbucks, or it looks like a coffee shop, or
yeah.
And I'm different times, and if you want my opinion, they're crappy times. I don't like the way things are now. There's no character. There's no fun. There's no nothing. And I don't like the way companies are trying to save face with everything now, and paranoid, and it's just terrible. But
Our McDonald's has a play place, but I won't allow my kids to go in it because it's a cesspool.
Yeah, it's definitely different these days. I think that was a.
It makes me, like I said, it just makes me sad to know that he's gone. He's not coming back. He's been shown the door, and to me, I mean, like I said, we have plates, and he was on everything. I guess they got rid of Joe Camel too, and that was for the better. But I don't know. I miss Ronald McDonald and the Fry Guys and.
Well, you just reminded me of something that happened 2 years ago. Okay, I had an opportunity to shake Ronald McDonald's hand when he was at McDonald's in Richland, Washington. And this is going to be a crappy send-off for the end of the episode, but he was in the parking lot. He was with the manager, and he was waving to people, being friendly, and he was in full makeup and everything. And it was the actual guy that was on TV at that time. And if it wasn't, he had me fooled. I waved to him. I said, "Hey," like, he goes, "How you doing?" like that. And I did not know at the time, this was probably end of 2014. I did not know at the time that they were phasing him out. If I had known they were phasing him out, I would have went over and shook the guy's hand. And that McDonald's is gone. It has been replaced by a building that has no character to it whatsoever. Terrible looking. It doesn't look like a McDonald's. It doesn't look like a place that you would take your kids to have a good time and have a happy meal or whatever. I'm sorry, but I don't like it. And it's very sad because you go by and you can see the outline of where all the kids' toys, the playground area was. The building is derelict. Ooh. It is just, all the furniture has been ripped out of it and sold off, and it's just sitting there rotting. And I just saw this on Thursday. I was driving by there after work, and the building is just falling apart. And it's very characteristic of how your past and my past as kids has been treated by the modern establishment. And I'm ranting here, I realize that. And I don't think that you should be just dismissing it like that. And I think that this place, this world would be a lot better if these corporations would take a hard look and say, look, we had something good going here. Why not put some effort into it and make it fun for kids again? But instead, they take these buildings, they make them bland, and there's no character to them whatsoever. I don't know what the reason is, and it's terrible, and I hate it. And I'm usually a pretty positive guy in these shows, but talking about this has really struck a nerve with me. Who knows? Maybe things will get better. Maybe they'll bring something back. Maybe they'll realize, hey, we need to add some color back to our establishment. I don't know. But it's really sad because, you know, you're totally right, Jody. It didn't really hit home with me that they were phasing Ronald McDonald out like they were. And I would have shook the guy's hand just to say, you know what? I shook Ronald McDonald's hand. Some guy in an outfit and the full makeup. And it was cool. And, you know, that kind of sucks. I wish I could have that Ronald McDonald statue. I'd love to have that. That thing would go.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a piece of history right there. Who knows? Maybe things get better. I don't know. But they're definitely having a different face these days. Now, they still have cool toys. They still have cool Happy Meal toys. It's just that, you know, the look of the building and stuff is just not what it used to be. And I don't even know who their mascot is, if they even bother having a kid mascot. I don't think they do. You know, they didn't.
No, like I said, there's like a talking Happy Meal box on the side of the box, but he's not, he's just kind of like a host, I guess. It's usually, you know, it used to be a big deal as a kid when they do boy toys and girl toys for the Happy Meal, and now it's a thing. They just do boy toys and girl toys. Now, granted, like right now it's Lego Batman, but some of the toys
which
are
is
more
cool.
like Batgirl,
which
and
is great,
Catwoman centric than
right.
the Batman. Oh yeah,
yeah. I'm not knocking the toys at all.
Shamrock shakes.
Yeah,
I went in there last night for some Shamrock shakes and walked out. I ended up buying them and then came back and bought. A cup for my son because it was really neat.
Yeah, I mean it's they're definitely. I mean they pass the flying colors on the Happy Meal promotions. It's just I just wish they would not just phase out Ronald McDonald like that. And I just it sucks. It really sucks. And
no, and I know we need to wrap it up here, but
well, it's my I kept going.
Did they?
On it.
Did they No. That's hey, I'm glad you told that story. That McDonald's, would they build a new one like down the street and that's just a vacant one that's sitting there, or?
Yeah, so what they did was they put in a, well, I can't speak for on your neck of the woods, your side of the country, but over here, they have this two-lane system, so that you could actually so it sounds like they probably got it over there too, right? It's kind of the two-lane system. You can kind of speed things up, which is a cool idea. I have no problem with that. The buildings are long. They're taller. They just don't look very inviting. They look like some box of ice cream. You know, it just looks stupid. And, you know, McDonald's, I remember, is like the white or the yellow and the red, you know, and the cool. It just looks like a cool place to go eat. You know, it looked inviting to a kid. And even as an adult, like, to take your kids, I mean, it'd be like, now I know people, there's a lot of anti-fast food people and stuff all day, you know, these days, but you know what? Everything in moderation. You know, if you're not eating it day in and day out, I don't have an issue with it. It's something you do once in a while.
You know what? We're not even, I don't even think the food's been brought up once. We're not even talking about the food. We're talking about the memories and the experiences, the excitement of going there as a kid.
Yeah.
I am going to McDonald's. I am getting a toy, and I'm getting some really lousy cookies in the bottom of my head.
I was afraid of the Ronald McDonald cookies.
It allegedly looks like the Hamburglar, but it doesn't. But you know what? I'm going to eat those cookies anyways. Maybe it looks like somebody stepped on them and smushed them before I put them in the bag, but I am still going to eat them.
I had two rules when I had those cookies. Number one, I never ate Grimace because he's too friendly. I did not eat Grimace. Okay. The other rule was I didn't go anywhere near that Ronald McDonald cookie because I thought it was from the Wiz movie that Michael Jackson did. I didn't think it was. I couldn't recognize it as Ronald. Scared the crap out of me. That one got thrown in the trash because it scared me. I couldn't even put my teeth on it. And those are my two rules with the McDonald's cookies.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I figured you'd like that. But anyway.
Here locally, we actually had one remaining McDonald's in the old style. And it was getting pretty run down, I won't lie to you.
That's the way it was here, too. The one I described was like that. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, it was exactly. We had one in the old style. This is the one that has I don't know if he's still there or not. I don't eat it much, but had a Ronald McDonald outside on a bench that you could get your picture taken with. And,
right.
I mean, that was pretty run down. Don't get me wrong. There was the Playland had, like, I think it was a Nintendo 64 or something you could play there. this is circa, like, a year and a half ago. Like, it was really run down.
Wow. There.
But it was like, I don't want them to get rid of this because this feels like home, you know?
Yeah.
And eventually they did close it down for a few months, and now it looks like every other one. And it was pretty sad. It was pretty sad to see it go.
Yeah. Makes you wonder what happens to all that stuff. Maybe because I don't think there's like a museum or an Area 51 for McDonald's lore and artifacts. I don't think they put them in a crate and stockpile them. You know, like the end of Raiders.
You don't think they're in a crate somewhere next to like the Ark of the Covenant?
I was gonna say it's not like the end of Raiders. Of
Mary McCheese somewhere next to the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah, it's burning a hole in the side of the crate or whatever. You know. it makes you wonder what happens to this stuff. I mean, maybe nobody in the McDonald's Corporation cares, you know, maybe they will stockpile it, and maybe it just gets thrown in a scrap heap, haul it off, and
I imagine it probably gets tossed. Yeah, I know if collectors get their hands on it, it goes, you know, it's very sought after to get those sort of things, but
no,
I think largely it just gets tossed.
But here, you just gave me an idea for another episode. So I one of these days we're going to do an episode on what happens to movie props or TV show props. Are they thrown out what happens to these things? And I want to do one of those, and I'm going to get some facts together, and I think that would be a great episode. We need to do that, Jody.
Okay.
I think people would really like that. It'd be very interesting. But anyway, unfortunately, I think they just get tossed. They melt them down, whatever they got to do. No, it's a different facade or a different image for McDonald's. That's fine, whatever. But no, it's been a roller coaster of an episode. for me, you know.
Between this episode, I think of this episode, and like when we were talking comics, we're like, man, they're not what they used to be. We get really high, and then we get really low.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. Oh boy, those aren't around anymore, are they? No.
Yeah.
Man, I missed the Hamburglar. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody. Good night.
Yeah. No, we're not going to leave you guys on a downer, man. This is just, you know, sometimes when you know, for me, and Jody, I'm sure you agree, is that when we start talking about this, it starts hitting you. You get these memories coming back, and you start getting these feelings you had when you were a kid, and, you know, that's what good discussion is, and I hope that those of you listening to this, hearing the sound of our voices, will get something out of this, and maybe, hopefully in some way, shape, or form, it causes you to think about these kind of things, and we'd love to hear feedback on this kind of stuff, and anything in general on the show. We'd love to have your feedback. You know, leave us a comment on Facebook. You can leave, you know, Case in Point Podcasts on Facebook. We've got at KitCar83 is our Twitter handle. You know, and we'd love to hear your comments on there. And you know, hopefully this is thought provoking stuff. Share with us your memories. You know, what you remember going to these when you were, you know, from your childhood. You know. Yeah, this was a great idea, Jody. It was, because I was going to go in a totally different direction, but, this was a really good, idea to do this, and I had a lot of fun doing it.
This was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. Brought back a lot of memories.
Oh, absolutely. And good ones, you know, good ones. Absolutely. And, yeah, so.
And I think, I honestly, as far as, like, say, food promotions and things, this is definitely something we can definitely revisit. I'm sitting here listening to you and talking, I'm thinking of, like, boy, you didn't mention the 92 Dream Team Cups, and you didn't mention this, you didn't mention all for another day.
You didn't mention the All-American Meal.
No, and that's what made me think of it. Yeah, you didn't mention that you didn't mention when they brought back the Triple Beef Cheeseburger for the 96 Olympics.
Someone asked me for an All-American Meal 15 years after the fact. You know, they try to order it. No, we don't have that anymore, you know.
And you know what? If you like the show, and you think, especially with this episode, if you know somebody you think might like this, spread the word.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Help us spread the word. That gets more dialogue, that gets a bigger community, and... of course, it's something we appreciate, and something that helps the show grow and find more listeners. And I'd be remiss to forget to say this before we sign off. I want to thank our buddy Eli Terra for the idea for this episode. He wrote us in a little while ago, quite a while ago actually, and suggested cereal, you know. Cereal box toys, and I thought, well, if we're doing that, we might as well do Happy Meal toys too. And I think it's turned into one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah, great stuff. Yeah, thanks a lot, man. We really appreciate it. And that's the kind of stuff we're looking for, guys. Like I said, Jody and I, Jody and I can riff on anything, and we can put two chairs in a room and just talk and about anything. But if you guys want us to bring up stuff that you really like to hear us riff on, we're all for it. This is great. And, cause you know, the more involved, we want you guys to be involved, and really, we don't want to have, a feeling of distance or, you know, us just doing what we want to do. We want to get you guys involved and really have some interaction with the listeners. So thanks a lot, Eli. We really appreciate it. And, and I will say, that being said, I would encourage anyone who has ideas when we do lists or anything like that. I think in order to make sure we don't miss anything, any submissions, post them on the Twitter page or the podcast or the Facebook page. That way we get them, because I am technologically impaired at times, negligent at looking at some of this stuff, and if I see it all in one location, either on the Facebook page or the Twitter page, I will definitely see this stuff. Sometimes I'll have to write the stuff down, from people I see in person, but or I'll get messages and stuff. Unfortunately, I will not, sometimes I miss those and I apologize, submit this stuff either on the main Facebook page or the Twitter page. And that way I can get all of your submissions. And if I do miss something in the future, guys, it is not a snub. And I encourage you guys to send stuff in. I will get it on the show. And thanks a lot, guys, for, you know, your interest and really, we, you know, we look forward to hearing from you guys. So what else? You got anything else, Jody?
No, I don't think so. I think, like we said, next episode, we'll be doing 90s rock. Send in your top five, right? Because we plan on getting a few of these. That way we can make sure we hit everybody without hitting the 3-hour mark. So
hit top five acid rock. Yes. Everything's acid rock. Yeah. So yeah. Okay. That's great. And
And we'll be doing, you know, we did a poll, 90s rock one. We had a few other selections up there. They didn't win, but I think eventually we'll probably get to those too. So
everything will get a sniff. I guarantee you that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we're planning sticking around with this show for a while. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we, you know, we like hitting the retro stuff. So 80s soundtracks. I cannot wait to do that episode.
Yeah, that'll be awesome, and that's going to be a monumental task for me. So, because I, like I said, I have my musical well runs deep. So, all right, guys, cool. With that, we're going to sign off, and we'll catch you guys next time.